Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 30 years ago, I don't remember much of my ordained service, but I do remember what I was wearing. I had a lovely gray dress on, and I was so excited because I had passed seminary, and a church really wanted me, and I was thrilled about that. And I was dressed so nicely, and all my neighborhood friends and family were in the church. So I was flitting about before church, greeting everybody, when the bishop came up to me. Now, the bishop was somebody I loved dearly. He happened to be the pastor of my church. And Bishop Stanley came to me and said, "You're not supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be in the back, hidden away with me." And I said, "Oh, just like a bride," and laughed my head off. And the bishop was not amused. So he corralled me back there. Now, I knew that the worship was going to be recorded for posterity because my mom had this nifty little device. Some of our young people will not know what it is. It was a tape recorder. And she was tasked with tape recording this whole proceeding so I'd have it for posterity. Well, first of all, we made two mistakes. The first one was, well, I guess just one. We asked our mother to do that. The most electronically challenged person in the group. But she got the tape. She put it in. She pressed record. Found out later it was the cleaning tape for the tape. So we had no record of this wonderful event. I forgot what scripture lesson was given because I really don't remember what the bishop said that day. But I found the Bible that he gave me. It's a Bible I can no longer read because the print is so small. But I keep it on my shelf. And he inscribed the Bible, and then he gave me the scripture lesson that he had preached that day, which was from 2 Timothy about proclaiming the message, preaching the word. But I really didn't need to know what he had to say because I had it all covered. The Bible says preach the word. I got a prize in preaching, so I knew I had that covered. The Bible said that you had to proclaim the word in season and out of season. Well, I knew the word was out of season in the 1980s. When I was growing up, every kid in my elementary school, and I went to a public school on Staten Island, every single one went to church. By the 1980s, you could not say that. The churches, when I was a little girl, were filled. Didn't matter what Catholic, Protestant, everything in between, every church was filled on Sunday morning. Couldn't say that in the 1980s. So I knew what my mission was. My mission was to turn that around. Maybe not for the rest of the United States, but for that one place in the Bronx where I was going, it was going to turn around. And I was going to turn it around with my stellar preaching. I was going to turn it around with great programs for youth. I was going to have people flock to the church. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Preach it out of season and it'll become in season. And it was no wonder 6 months later I thought I was going to leave for good. And a lot of my young colleagues did. They dropped out of the ministry. And when I complained to one of my older, more wiser people, I said, you know, I don't know about this ministry deal because it's not what I thought it would be. And his kind words were, "Well, maybe you're just not suited for it." Well, that was helpful. But during that day of ordination, when I can't remember so much of it, there was one thing that stood out. In all the joy and all the wonderful words that were said, there was one man that got up. His name was Clyde. And Clyde came to the front and sang a song for me. And the song was, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." He did not have the finest voice. It was very gravelly voice. But he sang it. He sang his heart out. And a few months later, Clyde died. He was only in his 60s. He looked a lot older than that. I found out later that Clyde had had a very, very difficult life. Life had shattered him, so much so that he leaned on alcohol and all sorts of addictions to keep going. He had a very sad life. But in the church, Clyde was there every Sunday. In the church, he was somebody. And I realized, not at the time, not as a young pastor, because sometimes it takes you a while to figure things out. And I couldn't articulate it then, but I realize now what the ministry was about was not increasing the budget, was not making the church nice, was not bringing people in to flock to hear my sermons. The church was about people like Clyde, because the people of God gave him worth and value and dignity. And even as he was working and struggling with his demons, the church was there to lift him up. And they weren't there to minister to this poor soul. They were there to partner with him. And he was respected and loved in that church. The church is about people like Clyde. You see, Jesus said, what did he say? I came to bind up the brokenhearted. I came to set at liberty the oppressed. I came for people who are shattered by life. That's who I came for. The church, the ministry, is about Clyde. The ministry is about a lady named Marilyn, who I met at my second church. When I first met her, I could have sworn she was a bag lady walking the streets of New York. Marilyn looked like a bundle of rags. And she didn't smell too good either. And then I found out her story. This was a woman dearly loved by the church. She was in a marriage where her husband was a hoarder. And her house was stuffed to the gills with junk, and there was dust all around. She also suffered with asthma, and every now and then she'd be hospitalized, and of course the clean air of the hospital would clean her out, and then she'd go back to that situation. Her husband used to take all the money they had and spend it on ridiculous things. One year, he followed his beloved baseball team all over the country and left her and four children hungry at home. Once the children were raised, the church people begged her to get out, but she wouldn't. So they found ways to take care of her, and they found ways for her to minister. She was an artist. So anytime we needed artwork done, we'd ask Marilyn. She sang in the choir. She taught Sunday school. The church didn't minister to her. They partnered with her. The ministry is about people like Marilyn. The ministry is about people like Jan, who spent 20 years in prison for a crime she did commit. And this church, Trinity, would visit with her, would send gifts not only to her but to all the inmates. And this church, when she was out on work release and didn't have family around to house her, church members had a murderer in their home. Speak release to the prisoners. This is what the church is about, and this is what ministry is about, and it's taken me 30 years to figure it out. But I'm thankful that God gives us time to figure things out. It's no wonder that this church ministers in Milwaukee to people who live in the city that we do not know, and yet we minister. Why? Because in Milwaukee, there's crime. In Milwaukee, there's poverty. And we can do something about that here. And so we do. We send money down. We send resources. We pray. We encourage. Because we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. To set the oppressed free. And to preach good news to the poor. And then he ends with, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I've heard a lot of sermons about the year of the Lord's favor, and some preachers talk about that means that God's going to give you a lot of money this year. Well, that's nonsense. That's not the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is grace and peace, that when we pronounce the benediction in this church and you go out, that benediction goes with you. That peace goes with you. That grace goes with you. When you come into this place hurting, you go out with love and peace, and you know that God is going to be with you no matter what happens this week. That's the year of the Lord's favor. It's the presence of Jesus with us at all times. And that's our ministry. That's what we need to preach each and every week. And that's not just my ministry, it's everyone's ministry. You see, ministry is more than the building that we keep up, the programs we have, the people in the pews. Ministry are for the people who are broken by life, and we can bring Jesus. What a wonderful gift we've been given to bring Jesus to the brokenhearted, to the oppressed, to those who need a word from God. And I hope you have heard a word here, not only with my words, but with the choirs, with everything that's been said and done, and that you know that God's favor is on you. When you leave this place, his presence goes with you. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the presence and the power of God. We're so grateful that we alone cannot be faithful to you, but that you give us the power to be faithful to this ministry. And we ask, O Lord, for those who are hurt by life, that when they come into our midst, they will find their dignity. They will find the love of Christ. They will find everything they need to live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.